Let us pray. Lord, open your word to us, open our hearts to you. Touch us, we pray, and may we bless you. In your name, amen. There are a lot of things that don't make sense to me. I don't know how you guys feel about things, but there are a lot of things that don't make sense to me. For example, I cannot for the life of me understand why soccer is the most popular sport in the whole world. If you can't throw a ball to someone or throw a ball at someone or tackle someone, what's the point? You might as well, go inside with the little kiddos and play chutes and ladders. Doesn't make sense to me. Or how about this one? Another thing that doesn't make sense to me. And I know I've shared this with a few people. Forgive me those who I've shared this with. When I was a supervisor at 3M, I often got there at 4 o'clock in the morning and needed my morning caffeine, my Diet Coke, to get me going. So I'd have my Diet Coke. Next door to me, the next supervisor, he would come in around 6:30. And one day he was being really nice to me, knew that I, lived on Diet Coke. And I'd already drank my first one. But he came in thinking that, I hadn't had a Diet Coke yet, and he brought me a Diet Coke. He was being very gracious. Then he sat in my office and we talked a while. Of course, since he was in my office talking, I had to drink some of the Diet Coke or else, what kind of rude person am I? And then he left. We began our day. Around 7 o'clock, I had a meeting with some of my direct reports, and we were brainstorming about how to fix a certain situation that we had. Oh, and I tell you, 15 minutes later, I had to go pee so bad. And so I said, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm halfway through number two. Like I said, some things I just don't understand, like why I have such bad blonde moments. I don't know. Okay, seriously. A lot of things I don't understand. So much of the PC that's out there nowadays, the 30 plus genders, the people who ascribe to this like it's the gospel, I don't get it. I don't get it. Doesn't make sense to me. So many things that don't make sense to me. But of all the things that boggles my mind, all the things that don't make sense to me, this is the one that boggles my mind the most. That God cares for you and me. Doesn't make sense. It blows my mind. To me, it makes no sense at all. Zero. Absolutely none. I can't wrap my head around it. Turn with me, if you will, to our text. We're in Psalm 8. On my slides, I have it as Psalm 2. It's Psalm 8. Forgive me for that. This is one of my running home to mama verses, sets of verses. There are certain verses that you just got to run back to time and time again, and Psalm 8 is one of those for me. I run back to Psalm 8 I don't know how many times. When I'm thinking about God and His greatness, when I'm going through difficult times, when I'm maybe having a little bit of inflated opinion of myself, whatever the case might be, I run back to Mama. I run back to Psalm 8, one of my favorite portions of Scripture. So as we look at Psalm 8, if you think that it's no big deal that God should care for you and me, consider who God is. Consider who God is. This is what David wrote, verses 1 and 2. Again, it's Psalm 8, not Psalm 2. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the avenger and the enemy and the avenger. When David said, and maybe you know this, when David said, O Lord, anytime you see this in ESV, I think many of the other versions do the same thing. Anytime all the letters in the word Lord is capitalized, it's the Lord's proper name. Moses said, who are you when you send me to the people, who should I say sent me? And Moses said, I am. And that's in the Hebrew, Yahweh. We translate it as Jehovah. That's what's going on here. So David's saying, O Yahweh, or O the great I am. He's calling God by his personal name. And that, I think, obviously God revealed himself as I am, but that's a good name for the Lord, isn't it? I am. I am. I am. I am God alone. When you think about it, God alone has existence in and of himself. Everything else that has been made has its existence in God and exists as long until God says no more. And then it doesn't exist anymore. God alone is life. We have life in him, but again, if he chooses to withdraw his breath, we perish. God alone is the creator. We are creatures. He alone is unmade. I am. I am unmade. You are not. We are not. I am. And we often think of God as, I think, essentially like us, only greater. And the more accurate term is we are somewhat like him. He's not really like us. We're really like him. But beside that point, there are ways that God is like us. There are ways we are like God, but there are a lot of ways that we are nothing like God. We are not all powerful. He is. I am. I am all powerful. He is everywhere. He is everywhere in the universe and then above the universe. I am. I am everywhere. We are here and here alone. He knows everything there is to know. We know our little bit of knowledge and that's it. So when you think of God, I am, we're talking awesome, aren't we? Indeed, David says his glory is above the heavens. We look at the heavens, we look at what he has created, and we go, that's glorious. That tree is glorious. That sunset is glorious. The earth is glorious. The stars are glorious. But his glory transcends even that. It's above the heavens as well. You could think of it in this term. You make something, and whatever you make could be really neat, really cool. But it's not as cool as you, as the one who made it. The creator is always more glorious than whatever is created. And the creator's glory always transcends what he has made. You see the creator's glory in what he has made, but his glory transcends what he has made. His glory, God's glory, is above the earth. I am, the Lord said. I am. How glorious is our Lord? Infinitely glorious. Let's just consider for a bit a little bit of what he has made. Let's consider our human body. Maybe you know some of this, I did not. Did you know there's 37 miles of nerves in our body? 37 miles. I watch science fiction and they're always building androids and all that stuff. And we're building our robots nowadays. You want to make one? How would you like to hardwire in 37 miles of circuitry into that body? That's nothing compared to our blood system. Our veins, our arteries, our capillaries, all of our blood vessels together. I had to check this one 3 times to make sure. 60,000 miles. 60,000 miles of blood vessels. You're building the robot, you're building the android, you want to put in 60,000 miles of tubing? Amazing. Amazing. How about our skin? We replace all the cells in our skin every 27 days. It's no wonder, you know, you got all that dust in your house. Every 27 days, we replace all the cells in our skins. So again, you want to build a robot or android? And then how are you going to make it so that its outer shell is replaced every 27 days? Wow. Our body as a whole, our whole body, all the organs, everything that we consist of, every cell in our body is replaced every 7 to 10 years. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Indeed, there are 30 trillion cells in our body. 30 trillion cells. You want to build an android, a robot, and use 30 trillion parts? Good luck. Good luck on that. It might take you a while. And then those parts are constantly replacing themselves. Amazing. Amazing. There are 7 octillion. I didn't even know the word octillion. I guess it's this is 7 with followed by 27 zeros. 7 octillion atoms in our body. It's estimated there are 300 billion stars in the Milky Way, which means there are way, way more, way, way more atoms in our body than there are stars in our galaxy. Isn't the human body amazing? That's impressive. Not nearly as impressive as the one who made it. So let's think big. Let's think the stars. Most people estimate we can see 3,000 to 5,000 stars at a given night. My night vision's so bad, I think if I see 100, I'm lucky, even out in the country. 3,000 to 5,000 stars. It's been estimated that there are about 100 million stars in the average galaxy. And it's been estimated that there are 100 to 200 billion galaxies in the observable universe, what we can see. That's a lot of stars, a lot of galaxies. How do you even wrap your head around numbers like that? 100 to 200 billion galaxies? That number is so large, it just goes over our head and almost means nothing. Well, and then it makes me wonder how many galaxies are there beyond what we can see. Who knows? God knows, but who knows other than God? Is space infinite? Does it go on forever? And there's always more and more galaxies? And if so, how do you wrap your head around that? You can keep on going and going and never come to an end. How do you wrap your head around that? And if it's not infinite, this was even harder for me to wrap my head around. Where does it end? And what's beyond the end? And if there's something beyond the end, isn't that space? And aren't we back to infinite? I can't understand it. Again, our universe is impressive. Impressive. More so than the one who created it? Not even close. The point is, our God is glorious beyond comprehension. We cannot even begin to fathom how impressive our God is, how glorious He is. So if He should care for us, that's no small deal, is it? That's no small deal. If this person, this God, who is glorious beyond comprehension, should care for you and me, wow. That says something. Okay, but if you're still thinking it's no big deal that God should care for us, we've thought about who He is, let's think about who we are. Consider who man is. We looked at why God should care for us. Now let's think about why God should care for us. Why should He care for us? And this is the question David asked, the one I read already, verses 3 and 4. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, when I think about how glorious you are, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you care for him? So compared to the entire universe, is all those 200, 300 billion galaxies, what are you and me? Puny. Infinitesimal. Dust specks on our little dust speck called Earth. Puny. Mankind is puny compared to God. And then, since God has created, God has existed from eternity past, think about this now. He's existed from eternity past. That means that before he even created the world, he existed for an eternity. If he existed for an eternity before he created the world, before he created man, does he need us? He existed for an eternity without us. So what else is man in the grand scheme of things? Fairly inconsequential. God existed for an eternity before he created the world, before he created us. If he can exist for an eternity, then we are probably not as important as we sometimes think we are. But even if you get past that, even if you get past the fact that we're puny and inconsequential, there are 7 billion people on the earth. I am one of those 7 billion, just one of 7 billion people. Who am I? Out of all these 7 billion people, who am I? Who are you? Why does God care? Why does he care? But let's take it one step further. It's not only that man is puny, that man is inconsequential, and that I am just one of 7 billion people. What are we all? What are we all? Rebellious. We're sinful, we're broken, we're defective. To put it bluntly, we are junk. Why should God care about junk? Who are we? Who are we that God should care for us? He doesn't need us in the grand scheme of things. We're of little consequence, and we have rebelled and continue to rebel against him. Why, verse 4, should God care about us? It blows my mind. But God does care. Intimately. Isn't that cool? Bob Benson, in his book Come Share the Being, relates the following incident. I want to make sure I get this right, so forgive me, I'm going to read it. Nearly a year ago, Bob said, Peg and I had a very hard week. Wednesday night, Mike slept downstairs in his room where children belong, and we slept upstairs in ours where moms and dads belong. That was Monday night, or Wednesday night. Thursday night, we were 350 miles away, and he was in Ramada 325, and we were in 323, connecting rooms, and we left the door open and talked and laughed together. Friday night, 700 miles from home, and he was in 247, and we were in 239. But it was just down the balcony, and somehow we seemed together. Saturday night, he was in the freshman dorm, and we were back in 239. Monday night, we were home, and he was 700 miles away in Chapman 309. We came away lonely and blue. Somebody said, you still have three at home, three fine kids, and there's plenty of noise, plenty of ball games to go to, plenty of responsibilities, plenty of laughter, plenty of everything, except Mike. And in parental math, 5 minus 1 just doesn't equal plenty. We can relate, can't we? And I was thinking about God. He sure has plenty of children, plenty of artists, plenty of singers, plenty of carpenters and candlestick makers and preachers, plenty of everybody, except you. And all of them together can never take your place. And there will always be an empty spot in his heart and a vacant chair at his table when you're not home. And if once in a while it seems he is crowding you a bit, try to forgive him. It may be one of those nights when he misses you just so much he can hardly stand it. Why does God care for us? And care for us so intimately it hurts him when we're not with him? Doesn't make sense. I guess he cares for us because that is just who he is. That is just who he is. But God doesn't just care for us. He exalts us as well. You and me. He takes sinners like you and us, you and me, and makes us his literal children. David said in verses 5 through 9, yet you have made him, mankind, you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. In these verses, David is looking back to creation and how God has given man dominion over all the earth. Dominion over all the works of his hands, verse 5. Verse 7, all the sheep and the oxen. The beasts of the field, verse 8, the birds of the heaven, the fish of the sea, everything. God gave man dominion over it all. Now some people will say, well, the reason that we have dominion over it all is because we evolved the farthest. We evolved to the highest point, so that's why we have dominion. Okay, whatever. Others will say, we have dominion because we are able to reason better than the rest of the creatures on the earth. Not sure that's true. I think there are some animals who perhaps can reason just as well as we can. But okay, whatever. The one I was always told is we have dominion because of our thumb. A reversible thumb, and so we can make tools. Because we can make tools, that's how I were the top of the pecking order. Why do we have dominion over the earth? Because God gave it to us. That's the only reason we have dominion over the earth. He honored man by giving him dominion over all the earth. That's no small thing. That's no small thing. But David was also looking forward to the day of our redemption. He says, we've been made a little bit lower than the heavenly beings and crowned with glory and honor. What he doesn't say here, but where this is quoted in other places, what he doesn't say here is this is just a temporary thing. That we've been made a little bit lower than the heavenly beings. One day, the roles will be reversed. In Hebrews 2, this is quoted in the context of our ruling with Christ over the entire universe. Verse 5, it was not to the angels that God subjected the world to come, the future heaven and earth. They won't be the ones in charge. It'll be Christ who will be in charge, and we will be what? Seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. And we will be the ones in position of authority. So for the while, we've been made a little bit lower than the angels, but only for a while. And the angels right now, they see the face of the Father. They're in God's presence, in positions of authority. But one day, these angels will have to vacate their post, and then we will be the ones who will be in those positions of authority. Indeed, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:3 that we will judge the angels. That word can be translated as judge as it is here, or it can also mean to administer, to rule. Do you not know that one day we are going to rule over the angels? Who are we? Who are we that we should be honored thusly? Who are we? It is no small thing that we will rule and reign with Christ. And that one day we will rule over the whole universe. Wow. I will say it again, it's no small thing that God should care for us. It's no small thing that he should honor us. May you and I never take God's favor, his grace, for granted. So back to the things that don't make sense. Every time I read the latest news, I just shake my head. So much that doesn't make sense. When I think about myself, there's so much that doesn't make sense. So much that boggles my mind. But again, what's the one thing that boggles my mind the most? That God should care about you and me. When I consider who God is and who man is, the only thing that makes sense to me is that I ought to fall on my knees in awe before him, before my maker, and submit myself to him. That makes sense. When I consider who he is, who we are, what makes sense? That I ought to run to my Redeemer and adore him. Why would Jesus die for me, for you, for man? When I consider who God is, who we are, the only thing that makes sense is that I ought to serve my gracious God all the days of my life with all my heart. So much that doesn't make sense. That's what makes sense to me. What do you think? What makes sense to you? Lord, wow. The glory that we see, the glory that we can comprehend, your glory. The part that we can see and comprehend, I think, is a small tip of the iceberg. There is so much more to you, so much more glory, so much more awesomeness that we will never, ever comprehend in full. How does a creature ever fully understand the one who has made him? Lord, forgive us. Forgive us when we think that it was right for you to die for us. Forgive us when we take it for granted that you died for us. How can it be, God? How can it be that you care for us? And yet you do. And who would have thought that you, God, that you would die for us, and yet you did. Who would think that someone like you would adopt us into his family, and yet we have been adopted into your family? Who would think that you care for us and love us as intimately as we have ever loved any child of ours, and yet you do? And who would think that you would miss us when we are not with you, and yet you do? What is man? What am I? What are any of us? What are we that you should care for us and honor us? All we can say, Lord, is thanks, 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 thanks. You are so good. How we praise you. In your name, amen.